Hey everybody, we're back once again with Dead Talk with the Dead Pit, deadpit.com, and I am Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
We're here to raise some hell, make a little noise.
We're going to talk about all your favorite horror topics today. And I guess we're going to start off by talking about some of the comments we got back from the last show that we did.
Yeah.
Which weren't all that positive, but you know what? At least we're trying.
We're giving it our best, guys.
The basic comment that we got back, aside from the fact that we sound like the guys from Deliverance doing the show,
we don't like a big motherfucker,
was that...
That was some guy on outside.
Yeah, we don't know who that was. Was that we were too negative in our approach to, you know, modern horror film and stuff, which, in hindsight, that's probably true.
But you got to understand the point of our negativity, okay? We're not going to recommend something that we didn't enjoy. You know, we're not going to sit here and lie to you like some of the magazines. I'm not going to name names, but you can pick them up at your local bookstore. We're not going to feed you a load of bullshit.
Mangoria.
We're going to tell you the truth about a movie. You know, if we liked it, if we didn't like it, we're not saying we're right about it, but that's what we feel.
Yeah, we feel like we're doing a lot of people a public service here by doing this, because we watch a lot of really horrible films, so like a lot of you don't have to, and we think that's noble. And you know, if I have to be the bad guy and like bitch about people like Wes Craven and stuff just to get, you know, something to change about horror, since nobody else seems like want to do that, then I will.
That's true. You know, we don't want to be negative about things. You know how it is. We're forced to. We don't have a choice. You know, all these movies that come out, whether they're a Blair Witch Project ripoff, a Scream ripoff, whatever, Tim Burton ripoff, they all have no originality. Okay? They don't have any of the things that I enjoy in films. So, why would I lie and say, you know, Cabin Fever was a great movie? Or say, God damn, Hostel looks like it's going to be fucking great.
Yeah, you got to really understand that, you know, we actually do care about horror, because if we didn't care about horror, we wouldn't be saying all this stuff, because we wouldn't care if it changed, if anything got better, if anybody paid attention to it.
And let me tell you something else about Hostel. And believe me, the next show we do, we will have seen Hostel, and we'll tell you if it's worth a shit or not. But my opinion on the matter is, if you have to have Quentin Tarantino's name in front of it, and he didn't have anything to do with the fucking movie, he was just like a producer or whatever, didn't have anything, you know, creative involved in the movie, anything that has Quentin Tarantino or anybody else's name presents, I automatically assume it's going to be a piece of shit. But let's go on, because we're not going to stop bitching. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, the thing about it is that
we might try to hold back a little bit sometimes, but we're going to speak our minds. That's the whole point of this show.
Yeah, I really don't care how many comments we get talking about, you know, that we shouldn't be so negative about horror films, or we shouldn't talk about certain people or stuff like that, because the truth is that we're always going to do that, and if something's shitty, it's just, we're going to tell you it's shitty.
Well,
that's just it.
Yeah, I think a genuine fan would appreciate us being honest.
Yeah.
Eventually, if we kiss everyone's ass, they know we're, you know, we're just trying to get our name out there and make money, which we're not. We're not making a dime from this show. We probably never will. We're doing it because we love horror movies. So let's go on and talk about the poll, which was on deadpit.com. What was your favorite horror film released in the year 2005? And there were a lot of zero percentages out there, namely House of Wax, Land of the Dead, The Fog, Cursed, and Hide and Seek. They all got 0%.
The only one on there that didn't deserve to get 0% was Land of the Dead. The rest of them films sucked ass.
Well, House of Wax probably didn't deserve to get 0%. Well, 1%, 2%, something like that. But whatever. None of the movies are great. One that sort of, I don't understand the reasoning why someone would pick this movie over even freaking Land of the Dead or, you know, House of Wax. One person voted for Cry Wolf.
Yeah.
And it must have been like a Bon Jovi fan or something. I don't know.
By the way, that person's been permanently banned from the website.
Yeah. You won't be hearing from them anymore, but.
And we sent a team to their house.
Yeah, that was 5% of the vote. One person, which tells you we had 21 votes. 10% was other, which we couldn't put every movie, you know. There were a ton of movies that come out.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that I'm sure that had some kind of, you know, Japanese horror film obsession. They probably wanted to write in.
But,
films like
you know,
that.
Whatever your other vote was, whoever those two people were, email it to us at deadpit@gmail.com and we'll talk about it. We'll mention it or whatever. At 14%, or wait a second, we had another one at 10%, was High Tension, which I thought would get more votes than that, but whatever, you know. Saw 2 at 14%, and The Devil's Rejects at a whopping 62%, so evidently a lot of people out there agree with some of our shit. So.
Yeah, I mean, that basically panned out exactly like we would have, you know, talked about it last week, except for the Cry Wolf person, yeah. Which I don't know. Maybe that was the director.
Yeah, Saw 2 was at 14%, which, you know, it was Saw 2. It was pretty much the same thing as Saw.
A lot of people have a problem with High Tension's ending. I've noticed that. Like, they completely disregard the whole rest of the film just because the ending turned out the way
it
did.
Yeah, that's a few of the people that I've talked to mentioned that, too. But you got to remember, too, that High Tension was made a couple years before. And, you know, there's probably been a dozen movies that had that same ending since then. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
That may have
come
out in 2003 in France.
Yeah.
So what else have we got on the agenda today? I'm going to mention, while he's looking through his shit, that we're going to have a new poll up for the Friday before the Friday the 13th episode, which is, what is your favorite Friday the 13th film? Which we're going to have Friday the 13th 1 through Jason, Freddy vs. Jason, whatever it is. So you can vote on all those. And if you vote for Friday the 13th Part 5, you're a freaking killer. Because to me, that's my favorite one.
And if your vote for Jason goes to hell, then you need an exploding sphere to the head because you're already mentally retarded. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be negative.
Whatever.
Anyway, next up is the news, the horror news.
Yeah, we got this week.
The wicked news.
This week in horror, which we've got all kinds of great stuff to talk about. First on the agenda, there's going to be a Castlevania movie.
Mm.
And guess who's directing it? Could be one of two people.
It's already a video game movie, so it couldn't get much better. How could it? Who's directing it?
Well, it's not our favorite and the people's favorite.
Is it Uwe Boll?
No, it's not him. It's the other video game director, Paul Anderson.
Oh, right.
You know, he's had such classic films as Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat 2.
Well, he wrote it. He wrote all the Resident Evil movies, but he directed the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And he directed Mortal Kombat. I remember seeing that in theaters and almost puking in my popcorn. I mean, come on.
I mean, the man single-handedly might be responsible for, like, the plotless CGI movies that are out today.
Yeah, and he was also in the Sam Neill epic, or directed the Sam Neill epic, Event Horizon. That's one of your all-time favorites.
One of the biggest box office disappointments of all time, too, by the way.
But, yeah, he's writing and directing Castlevania, and I'm guessing it's going to be out in 2007. So you can look for a lot of, you know, dark elements and CG and mm-hmm. all that goodness.
If you're we can't
forget Alien vs. Predator either. I mean, he was involved in that, and that was one of the all-time movies that I can guarantee you I will never watch.
If you're a big fan of video games and you're a big fan of movies, then you won't be a fan of that.
Well, yeah. Okay, we're on to... I know... you folks are, you know, chomping at the bit to go to the theaters and see Hostel. Seriously. But there's great news. There's great news. Hostel 2 is already in the pre-planning stages.
But I'm just curious, what happened to Cabin Fever 2? Because you would think that would be next after, you know, Hostel.
Here's what, here's loosely what Mr. Eli Roth,
the great,
the paragon of virtue himself, said. I pitched them an idea for Cabin Fever 2. I turned in a 10-page treatment, and they didn't want to do it. And that's when I dropped out of the project and said, you know what, guys? You do your own thing, and best of luck. And he said he meant that sincerely.
There is nothing passive-aggressive about that. He was sincere.
Yeah, and he felt, you know, if they can do it better, then I'm curious. I'll be excited to see it.
I love Eli Roth. I think that sums it up.
He's
right
such
there.
A genius when it comes to, you know, just making films. He's like Hitchcock, you know, reincarnated. I mean, come
he's like Argento and Fulci in one person, but American.
Yeah. So he's thinking about Hostel 2 now. That's, you know, the bigwigs at Lionsgate pretty much told him he's an idiot. So, you know, he's thinking of doing Hostel 2 already. So we've got that to look forward to.
The Hostel
franchise. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, and, you know, since he's not going to be doing Cabin Fever 2 anymore, I might actually see that movie. But as far as Hostel 2 goes...
I just wanted to see Cabin Fever 2. That really broke my heart that I'm not doing that.
I know.
You know.
I really honestly think that he has been driven insane by, like, any type of fame that he's gotten. Because ever since anybody mentioned Quentin Tarantino with his name, that's all he's been talking about is, you know, Tarantino this and Tarantino that and... You know.
Well, him and Tarantino are probably an item by now, so...
I'm quite positive that Tarantino probably seen him maybe for 5 minutes. Like, he maybe made him like a cup of coffee, you know, Eli Roth did. That's probably the only way he knows Tarantino. But, you know, I'm sure that Hostel will be great. I mean, if you've seen the previews, which I'm sure you have, because it's been mass-produced out the ass so far, then you know that it's not in any way ripping off any movies from the 70s. In no way.
Anytime I think... of the name Eli Roth or Hostel, I get moist. I can't control it. I mean,
anytime anybody says Eli Roth to me, I have just a complete loss of bowel function.
But Hostel comes out today in theaters, also with another movie of the legendary Uwe Boll.
Ah, the master of horror himself.
And the even better news is, you know, guess who's collaborating for the music video for Blood Rain.
Well, I don't
it's one of our favorites of all time.
I'll tell you, you know, with Uwe Boll, you can't go wrong, but if there's somebody more, then that just kicks it up another level for me. Who is
it? Do you remember the classic song, The Man Behind the Mask?
Oh, from Friday the 13th, Part 6.
Yeah, I think it was Part 6.
How could I forget?
Well, Alice Cooper's song, Mankind, not the wrestler, the song. And he recorded it with a star, Kristanna Loken, who was in Terminator 3. She was like a model or whatever. She's pretty hot. For Uwe Boll's upcoming Blood Rain.
That's amazing.
So vote for that shit on TRL. If it ever gets on MTV, I'm serious. Like, I'll fucking, you know, shit a brick.
Yeah, I'll cast a mass ballot if that ever gets on.
But Blood Rain, Blood Rain opens in theaters today, too.
And if you know, I'd heard some
what,
talk.
Which movie you want to see? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, Uwe Boll said, Uwe Boll told me this personally. Uwe Boll said that he used the most blood in this movie that he's ever used in any other movie.
Well, it's called Blood Rain.
Yeah, so, you know, I have to go see that because, after all.
You know what would have been really killer? I mean, I like Alice Cooper and everything. Slayer. Wouldn't that have been killer? Rain and Blood music video. Blood Rain.
Yeah,
Think about that.
It really would have been, but, you know. Alice Cooper's a lot
Slayer
better than Slayer.
With that Kristanna Loken.
Yeah, Kristanna Loken wouldn't go anywhere near Slayer.
Well, that's true. Okay, here's a movie, and I'm actually looking forward to this just because it sounds so bad, it's got to be good. See No Evil from WWE Films and Lionsgate. It's a movie that stars WWE, you know, champion, former champion Kane. The trailer is going to be in Hostel this weekend, and I just can't freaking wait to see it. I mean, that's, you know, that'd probably be a better reason, you know, to actually go and see the movie than, you know,
Yeah, that's actually what I'm looking forward to. If I was going to pirate anything about that movie, it would be that, you know, trailer.
But the, I think that movie comes out in May.
Another one you need
Lionsgate announced that it was the first film to ever be released simultaneously at the theater and on DVD. So, you know, whatever way you want to see it there. But the best part about this movie is what making me look forward to it more than anything is it's directed by Gregory Dark. Okay.
And who played and he does, that?
He did some of Uncle Bill's favorite movies ever. You remember Hooter Mania?
Oh, yeah.
And White Bun Busters.
Didn't he do Cum Dumpsters?
No. But he's a former porn director. And he directed Britney Spears music videos. So that's...
Wait a minute.
That's like softcore porn itself.
Wait a minute.
But
are you trying to tell me...
Gregory Dark, I'm telling you.
You trying to tell me he didn't do a cock in every hole?
He could have. I've just got Hooter Mania and White Bun Busters on here. I know he did a lot of, you know, porns.
Also, though, on a semi-serious note, not really serious, that Santa Slay DVD is out with Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg.
Well, yeah. So you need to go pick that up.
I actually
right
heard
now.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I did too. It was amazingly heard that it wasn't that bad. I can't imagine that.
If I ever see it like somewhere cheap, I'll get it. the movie... Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez are working on. It's a double feature type anthology. Grindhouse, K&B Effects Group, it will supply makeup effects in it, as they've done in every Quentin Tarantino movie and a couple of Robert Rodriguez movies too. The movie itself is shooting for a September 22nd release from Dimension Films. So, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Actually, K&B, everything I've ever seen them done, even the very first couple of movies that they did, like Intruder and stuff like that, they always do good work. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
And
if you like gore, you'll love that.
Yeah, pretty much on, they've done all the Masters of Horror.
Yeah, they do.
And that's, you know, that's brought that whole series up a notch, I think.
They are the, you know, the guys you go to if you want effects in horror.
Yeah. Formerly of K&B, though, Robert Kurtzman, Precinct 13 Entertainment now, I think, is...
Uh-huh.
He's working on a new movie after a long 9-year delay for a movie called The Rage. And
last movie he directed would have been what?
Wishmaster. Uh-huh. Yeah. And, but, yeah, Andrew Dilloff, who's the Wishmaster's in this, too, is a mad doctor, you know, who infects vultures with a virus that turns them into bloodthirsty killers. And the movie will star... Carmella DeCesar, who is, you know, in the WWE as a Diva Search contestant or whatever, and she was a Playboy playmate. And Phantasm star and Deadpit.com favorite Reggie Bannister is also in the movie. So you can see
Reggie.
Yeah, he's one of our favorites. You can see photos and teaser poster for this film on our message board over at Deadpit.com.
I'm not even joking about this movie either. At least this movie, like, even in the plot, you know it's, like, incredibly, like, silly and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not pretentious like Hostel where it's all trying to be, you know, ooh, we're going to, you know, scare the crap out of you. You're going to have an ambulance called to your house when
using,
you see this on DVD.
Using the same techniques they did back in the 70s, you know, Wes Craven did with Last House on the Left, which was truly a disturbing freaking movie, okay? We'll give Wes Craven his due. Back in the day, he was a great director.
You really don't want to get me started on Wes Craven today.
I'm just saying.
If you don't want negativity in this show, don't be talking about Wes Craven. Okay, Wes Craven made two of, like, the best, bar none, you know, exploitation / splatter films that there are, and that's The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left. Now, I don't know what happened after Nightmare on Elm Street, but during
let's give him credit. When Scream come out, I enjoyed it when it first came out.
I did,
okay?
too. I have to say that.
You can't make a film over fucking 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it be Wes Craven or Kevin Williamson, that's exactly what they did. So, you know, every movie that Kevin Williamson did had WB fuckers in it, you know, from Dawson's Creek or Party of Five or whatever the hell it is. And, you know, it's all the same basic shit. But
I'll give you a little bit of a, you know, a brief update on what Wes Craven's doing right now, since, you know, I actually did some research on this.
Tell us what he's doing. I don't know.
Old Wes, ever since he directed Red Eye, which was the last movie that he directed, which that'll be out the 10th, I believe, on DVD, and don't buy that. He is producing four films right now. He's executive producer on four different, and all four of them are horror films.
Oh, he's another one. Presenter.
And guess what one of those films is?
Hills Have Eyes remake.
Yep.
Yep.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm really proud that he's going back and, you know, being the producer on a remake of a film that, you know, could never possibly be remade.
It seems to be popular, too, since John Carpenter remade, or, well, he didn't remake it, but he produced the remake of The Fog.
He's going to make his money back on that, I guess. And suck ass.
I wonder if they'll remake Hills Have Eyes Part 2.
They should, because, I mean, to me, that sequel just wasn't enough.
If anybody's ever seen Hills Have Eyes Part 2, the odd thing about that is the music, Harry Manfredini, who did Friday the 13th, it's exactly the same as Friday the 13th. Did he hire him to just use the same fucking music? Anybody listens to that? That's the oddest shit. I just remember that, but that movie was truly fucking horrible. That was almost chiller horrible.
At least it was him ripping off himself.
Yeah.
And not like everybody else that ripped off
Memphis. Let's see. All right. I've got some Ooey Bowl related news.
Anything so we can Ooey related, you know, I'm for.
Mindfire Entertainment, Lionsgate, House of the Dead 2, Dead Aim. Will be heading straight to cable on February 11th, according to Coming Soon. Directed by Mike Hurst and starring Sid Haig and a bunch of other motherfuckers. Sticky Fingers. I thought that was a barbecue sauce.
That's my favorite, personally.
The show will air on the Sci-Fi Channel next month. Picking up where the last film left off, if anybody remembers. But you know,
if you care, then you're stupid.
But the DVD of that film is scheduled to be released on March 28th, which is my birthday, and I think you know what you need to get me for my birthday now.
Definitely not that.
You'd be right. But the extras are, you got 16 by 9, 5.1 surround, audio commentary, making of.
Really?
Yeah.
It really has all that on.
Deleted scenes, trailers, and an AFI salute to Ooey Bowl.
That will be amazing.
I'm just kidding about that last part. But.
No, it's about time he got his own AFI salute.
Yeah,
in a tribute dinner.
He needs one.
He really does.
I mean, anybody that has that sort of dedication for video game films needs to be recognized.
I'm calling out the Directors Guild in Los Angeles right now. You need to honor Ooey Bowl and Paul W.S. Anderson. I'm sick of this stuff. Look at the contributions they've made with video game horror films. I mean, seriously. Fuck a bunch of Clint Eastwood.
I want
Ooey Bowl.
I want Ooey. We call him Ooey because it just sounds good. I like how that sounds. I want him to make the Crash Bandicoot movie. I cannot fucking wait for that.
I'm telling you, if he doesn't get started on the new Sonic movie, I don't know what I'm going to do.
But we go on. Well, in fact, hang on a second. We'll take us a short break, and we'll be right back with the rest of the news here on Dead Talk of the Dead Pit at deadpit.com.
How do everybody? It's me, Junior. I was just out at the outhouse wiping up the business while I read my copy of the horror newsletter. I nearly sold my skivvies, but it don't matter none, as I usually put them on yellow in the front and brown in the back anyways. So stop on over at www.horrornewsletter.com and download yourself a free copy today. And be sure to tell them Junior sent you. Bye.
Okay, we are back. And we're still running through some more of the news for you this week in horror. Some great news that I know Uncle Bill will enjoy. Tobe Hooper's next movie, Mortuary, is set to get a theatrical trial run at 6 Fresno, California locations on Friday, January the 13th, which is just, you know, a little over a week away, I guess. And whether or not the larger release is based on those sales in Fresno. So all the horror fans in Fresno, sell out that fucking theater. I want to see that movie in the theater. And what were you going
to
say?
I just want everybody to know that that movie has actually screened in Germany and the UK. And all of the fan reviews that I've seen for it, the people that actually saw it at those festivals, it got absolutely stellar reviews. And nobody thought that it was the biggest pile of excrement that they'd ever seen, and one of the worst films Toby Hooper's ever done, which is, you know, would be amazing if it was true, considering he did the Toolbox Murders and, you know, a slew of other films during the 80s. But, but seriously, that has got some of the worst reviews from people that have actually seen that movie that I've ever heard on the internet. And that's the only way I could hear it.
Toby Hooper.
I swear to God, this is the truth. The man has not directed a good film since Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you exclude Poltergeist, because Steven Spielberg obviously directed that anyway.
I like The Funhouse. I could even grade it.
Even The Funhouse, I guess I really didn't like that much, but The Monster in it was okay. But
I liked it.
I swear to God, though.
I don't have a big problem with Toby Hooper, just because all these movies are just... The ones that he does now is just straight out, like, on DVD. I mean, it'd be different if it polluted the theaters.
What in the world happened? Why can't... I mean, he couldn't get a movie in theaters right now.
Actually, Toby Hooper made Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, too. He directed that.
I know he directed that. I don't know. I can't even, like... Okay, Wes Craven had at least three movies that people would consider classics. John Carpenter has at least four that people would consider classics. What's Toby Hooper got that people would actually consider, like, genre-defining classic movies? One movie.
That's all he needed, though.
Yeah, that's true. He's obviously made a career off that one movie.
Well, you know.
And if you know.
That's the movie to do it.
Really. I always say this to give these opinions about these movies, about what I've heard and stuff. If it came to a theater around here, I'd go see it. I'm not saying don't go see it. Probably do go and see it, but I'm just saying it's going to be shitty. And we all know it's going to be shitty. Toolbox Murder.
Well, that's the whole
shitty point
of going and seeing it. If it's shitty, you can bitch about it. You know, that's the best thing.
But apparently we can't because it's upsetting people.
Well, Echo Bridge Entertainment is holding the rights to the DVD, and it doesn't have a release date this time, but I'd probably expect it to come out probably around May or June, since I guarantee you that six Fresno, California theaters aren't going to sell out.
No. And he's actually got another movie. I think it's called Waiting.
Have no idea.
Mm-hmm. He's got another movie right now called The Waiting that's in production as well, but I don't know. He just completed that one, and it's obviously not getting any kind of distribution, so who knows what will happen with that one.
Yeah. Next bit of news we got for the Wolf Creek DVD, which is already coming out in the UK this month on the 16th. But the film was released theatrical there in England back in September, so that would kind of explain why it's early to us.
Yeah, I'd actually heard that DVD would be coming out really early, just because I think that movie's been out for a long time anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that I think they filmed it in like 2003. It's another one like that. Mm-hmm. But the two disc set will feature anamorphic transfer, Dolby Digital 2.0 and 5.1 commentary. Meet Mick Taylor featurette, behind the scenes, TV spots, you know, whatever. Thanks to Bloody Disgusting for that piece of info. Underworld 2, for anyone who, I don't know why anyone would care, but I'm just going to tell you, it comes out in theaters January the 20th. So.
Please stop making those movies. I'm begging you.
Underworld 2, Electric
Boogaloo. That and Resident Evil movies, please stop it. I mean, it's bad enough that I have to look at all the Resident Evil games that come out, but I don't want to see the movies coming out anymore. And as for Underworld, what's the point, really? I mean, that and Van Helsing and all those other movies exactly that are exactly the same as that, just stop.
Okay, we have more Wes Craven-related shit, sort of. Hills Have Eyes finally got trimmed for an R rating, but, you know, who knows what we could have in the DVD release if the movie ends up being worth a shit. Maybe I'll care. The R rating is for strong, gruesome violence, terror, and language, so no boobies.
Damn it!
Yeah. Masters of Horror is back tonight at 10 p.m. on Showtime, and it's going to be replayed, I think, all throughout the weekend, so you can catch it.
I've heard a lot of people, like, bad-mouthing that series, and to some extent, you know, I guess that's justified, but there's nothing else like that on television. What the hell are you bitching about? People that are bitching about it?
One thing, yeah. honest to God, maybe one episode I didn't like. Was it Toby Hooper's episode?
That was the Dance of the Dead episode. That was Toby Hooper's.
Was that the one with Robert Englund? Yeah. I like Toby Hooper and everything, but that was the weakest one. But I mean, I enjoyed all of them. I didn't have a problem with any of them. To me, that's definitely a strong series right now. Some of my favorites was probably Don Coscarelli's, Argento's. I talked about that last week, but I liked the Joe Dante one even, the one where it was kind of like a satire or whatever. But
I mean, seriously, that show is eerily reminiscent of like Tales from the Dark Side and stuff like that. So just shut up about that show. That's the only thing anybody that likes horror has right now.
The only sort of problem I've got is the people they're calling Masters of Horror.
For season two,
I'm not bitching too much about it, but it's kind of funny, really. The newest episode's Fair-Haired Child, which is directed by William Malone, who directed, back in 1985, he directed a real piece of shit in Creature. I saw that movie. I remember you let me borrow the video probably about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
God damn, that's horrible.
A Bill Malone masterwork. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
He did House on Haunted Hill remake, which came out.
You know, that's got Jeffrey Rush in. That movie's classic in and of itself.
Yeah. It's got Chris Kattan in it, too.
Yeah, it does. And he turns into a ghost in. Spoiler!
And he did, the latest movie he did was Fear.com. So he's a master of horror.
Steven Dorff. What more do you want?
The question is he a master of horror or is he a bastard of horror?
He's definitely a bastard of horror.
But I'll give the episode a chance. I mean, it hasn't been too bad thus far, so.
I won't. I'll prejudge it till the end. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we do anyway, according to some motherfuckers.
Yeah.
For anybody that's lucky enough to have Dish Network's Voom, which is the HD, you know, deal they got going or whatever. I don't even have HD. But Monsters HD, which is, I would fucking never leave the house ever if I had it. I don't leave the house much now as it is. But Friday the 13th, which is coming up a week from tonight, they are going to celebrate Jason's favorite day of the year with the Friday the 13th Slasher-thon. Camp out on the couch for 24-hour marathon of skinny dipping, underage sex, and a whole hell of a lot of slaughter and shit. I read that wrong, but whatever. They're going to show Friday the 13th part 2, 4, 5, 6, 8, and the horrible ass Jason Goes to Hell. So if you like horrible, gruesome death, Friday the 13th is your lucky day.
And, you know, a lot of people, there's another thing a lot of people bitch about is that series being the downfall of, like, modern slashers and movies like that. Serious for a second. If you were born in the 80s, that's the shit that got you liking horror. I don't give a damn
into
who you are.
But we're going to have to save the Friday the 13th discussion because we're going to announce that next week we're going to have a special Friday the 13th episode. That's all we can say. We can't say what's on it.
It's highly confidential right now. We can't really talk about anything else.
But we're doing our best to make it, you know, a good, you know, if you've got Monsters HD, you can watch all those. Go to deadpit.com and listen to the show because, you know, it's going to be great. I'm going to toot my own horn.
And before we go to break, I just want to talk about somebody that, you know, is a very special person in my life right now. If anybody out there has seen movies like April Fool's Day or Waxwork, then you know about an actress called Deborah Foreman. She's a wonderful actress. She played the dual role of Muffy and Buffy in April Fool's Day. And I've been trying to contact her now for several months, and I actually have contacted her, got in touch with her, but she won't return any of my messages or, you know, mail or anything of that nature. She won't talk to me. So I'm really sad about this because I really love Deborah Foreman's acting. I just want to take this time to say, please, Deborah Foreman, take me seriously. I just want you to, like, write back to me and talk to me. I'm lonely. Okay, that's all I really want to say about that. But we'll be right back on deadpit.com.
Hi there, folks. It's me, the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill.
And we want to welcome you on Friday, January the 13th, which is
Friday the 13th, guys. Come on.
And we're going to have a Friday the 13th special. We can't tell you exactly what's on it, but check us out at deadpit.com
for more details. That's www.danpit.com.
Friday the 13th.
Give me 20, fucker!
Alright, welcome back to the Dead Pit.
On deadpit.com.
Now comes the part of the show where... This would be the part of the show where we would read emails or, you know, comments or suggestions that anybody would, you know, leave on the site or anywhere for that matter, but nobody
did.
Well,
we did get comments on the message board, but, you know, y'all need to email us your comments. Whatever, if you think the show's shitty, I don't care. I just want to hear it. deadpit@gmail.com. That's our email address. Or we're on MySpace, too. You can look for Uncle Bill or Creepy Kentuckian, whatever.
And
actually, the deadpit.com MySpace account is, I think it's myspace.com/deadpit. So, check that out.
And honestly, though, this show really is all about horror, and it's supposed to be, the purpose is to get more people interested in horror and figure out, you know, what's right about horror and what's wrong with horror. So, really can't do any good unless we have people's suggestions and comments and... We will read this stuff on the air, so...
Yeah, we're crazy like that. We'll do that.
Yeah, we're just fucking insane, but...
And we love Kelly Ray. We want to mention that.
Kelly Ray, you're fucking hot, and you're awesome, and...
You look just like Elijah Dushku.
Except prettier.
Yeah.
So...
That's true.
And so now, since we don't have any email topics, here's a couple of topics that we're going to talk about. This is like a point-counterpoint kind of crap, you know, they do on regular radio shows. First thing I want to talk about, this should be a really short segment.
Yeah.
What is right with horror movies today? We've talked about for like the last 1.5 shows what's wrong with horror movies, basically. So what would we say would be things that are actually improved about horror movies? Creepy.
Well, I would have to say Uwe Boll. Having him around, horror, just, you know... It improves my life just thinking about it.
And I'd really have to say that it'd probably be the MPAA, because since their wonderful adjustment of ratings, it's made horror better for all horror fans.
In all seriousness, though, the only thing that I can see that's improved from the 80s is something that isn't really used much now, which is makeup effects. You have guys, K&B are the best known guys, but there's plenty of them out there that completely, if you look at Tom Savini's work in Dawn of the Dead, compare that to Land of the Dead, the zombies in Land of the Dead. There's no comparison. Okay. You know, I know we all love Tom Savini. We all... You know, like his work and stuff, he's got creative death scenes. Can't take that away from him. He invented a lot of shit. But today with the, you know, they have the animatronic shit with makeup. There's nothing they can't do today. I mean, especially with CG. You know, you have CG included. If CG's done correctly, you know, there's nothing that can beat that with good makeup effects. You have to use them both.
I'll just say this. What you're talking about is exactly true, though. You have the capabilities of doing, like, much more explicit and graphic scenes and violence in horror movies. The only problem is that the moral fabric of the country has gotten so, like, blatantly strangulating that you can't do any of that stuff because of the MPAA. I mean... The stuff that they can get away with the 70s is tenfold more than what they can get away with today. And now you have the technology to actually make things look accurate. But just because, you know, most people don't want to see gore and they don't want to see that kind of graphic violence, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the thing, too, like back in the 80s and 70s, I wasn't alive in the 70s, but I'm guessing, there was a lot more... graphic violence shown on television then. You had Vietnam going on, and you had, you know, all those guys out in the field showing motherfuckers blowing their legs off, shit like that. Whereas today, if you look at it even in the media, news stories, everything's going fine.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a war going over there. We've been over there. I don't want to be Bill O'Reilly or anybody like that. But
I want to be.
It's just the way society is. Everything's great. Everything's freaking daisies, you know. That's the whole society's. That's everything. That's not just movies. That's music. That's mainstream media. That's newspapers. It's everything's great.
You want to talk
problem?
You talk about Savini though. We were talking about him before, and in actuality, he was a photographer in Vietnam. That's how he got.
Yep.
The inspiration for being the makeup
guy. He was actually scheduled to be the makeup guy, not the Living Dead, but he had to go to Vietnam and he couldn't. So,
you know, just because you think that people don't want to see certain things doesn't mean make it true, you know?
Yep.
Just because you want to regulate taste doesn't make it the people's choice.
I'm a proponent, though, for the Tobe Hooper, Texas Chainsaw Massacre way of seeing things. To me, if you make the people think they're seeing something, that's more effective than showing, you know, visceral, you know, guts everywhere. It makes people think, oh, God, it makes them turn their head. That's more effective to me. You don't have that today because the directors, you know, they don't have that vision, I suppose, but
I've actually heard people say that
this was supposed to be what's right about horror movies, though.
And it's turned into... Well, you know what? The point of this conversation is that there's a lot of things right about the actual making of horror movies. It's just that once you get down to the distribution and the theaters, there's not much right about Hollywood.
Well,
there's not much right about any of, you know, the MPAA's
ratings. As far as horror movies being released today, it was a lot worse about 10 years ago. I mean, before Wes Craven came out with Scream, there wasn't too many horror movies released. So, as far as releasing come out with new ones, there's at least a dozen or so that comes out a year. So, there's a lot of them that comes out. I don't know exactly how creative any of them are. They all seem to be based on video games, books.
I keep hearing all this stuff, this talk about a hard R. And, you know, these directors bragging that they got a hard R. Now, a hard R is supposed to be the most violence you can put into a film before you get, like, an NC-17 rating. You know, that's not the point.
Yeah.
You know, Romero made those movies, and he, especially, they were rated. They
and
weren't,
trust me, when those movies came out, they weren't widely released. There were theaters. There was maybe two theaters in the state of Kentucky, which we live in, that probably showed it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't widely released. You know, you're not going to get a movie like that released. It's not going to be gory like that. It's not going to be gory like Day of the Dead. So you might as well fucking forget even trying it. You're not going to even get it on DVD like that.
It's just a fact that nowadays you cannot make movies like that, like Dawn or Day of the Dead anymore. So if there's people out there hanging on to that hope, and I do hear a lot of people that complain about the fact that gore is not at a certain level.
If you're hanging on to that hope, go look for independent DVDs, because that's the only place you will find that shit.
This is true.
You know, there's millions of them out there. I can't go through them all. We mentioned them last week, or a couple weeks ago. Tempe, Sub Rosa, you know.
MTI.
The Asylum.
Uh-huh.
There's plenty of them. So, go look. If you're in for the gore, that's your avenue. So, let's move on, whatever we're talking about next.
Well, kind of in the same vein as, you know, ratings and gore and stuff like that. A lot of people say that the reason why they like Japanese horror, like Dark Water and The Grudge and The Ring and stuff, that is because it has tension and storytelling.
Right.
And it doesn't really ever have any gore. It just has, you know, a very atmospheric approach to making a horror film. So my question is what would you consider to be better? Gore, like splatter films, or tension, like, you know, Japanese or American? Because American is mostly associated with films like Hostel, unfortunately.
Well, I remember watching it when we watched The Grudge down here. It's been probably about a year ago now. I felt that there was way too much time focused on atmosphere and tension, and you didn't really know what the hell was going on. It was all atmosphere and tension and camera work and all that shit, okay? The thing that I like so much about High Tension is it used both of those. It used atmosphere and it used gore, and it didn't overuse either one.
It used the Dario Argento approach, which is to use atmosphere and tension, but also interject some really, like, horrendous gore, you know?
Yeah, and not have any remnants of a story at all, okay? Because that's not... Who said that before? Somebody, that's not the point of Argento films, okay? Whereas High Tension... It was loosely, they had a loosely based story to it. It wasn't like Argento's, but all those Italian movies, that's not the point of those movies. The point of those movies is, what the hell? Where am I at? You know, what's going on? Shit like that. It's all atmosphere. It's all sort of comic book gore, really. I mean, it's...
I've never been a really big fan of Japanese horror films, even the ones, you know, that have been translated and remade in America. I don't know exactly why that is, but I think it pretty much has something to do with the fact that I do like gore in horror movies, and I do like at least some, you know, violence, because I really don't see the point in having a horror movie without some violence of some kind. Plus, most of the stories they have in these films, I know a lot of people think that they're, like, complex and dark and brooding, but they're mostly just pretentious pieces of crap. I mean, they really are just somebody's excuse to write, you know, a big convoluted mess of a script and try to fool Americans into thinking it's smart. That's basically all it is.
Yep.
So if you like that stuff, you're probably a dickhead.
All right. But Japanese movies, I don't think I've seen enough of them to make a judgment on them. I've seen a few of them.
There's generally two schools of them I've noticed, though, too. You got stuff like The Grudge and The Ring and Dark Water. And then you got stuff like Stacy.
You brought Stacy down here, okay.
And guinea pig films and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, those films, it's like, what the fuck? What is this? You know, that's what I was thinking when I was watching, especially watching those guinea pig movies, because all those are, well, the first one is the best one, but all it is like a snuff film. That is all it is. Like gore, go out and buy Unearthed Films, release that box set. Go out and buy that. That's among the goriest shit you will see, period.
It is truly like, that's one of the most disturbing films I've ever seen, just because of the way that it's set up, and it does look like, there's no music for one thing, there's no plot, it's like
Act 2, Act 3,
yeah.
Like, you know, what, they bathe her in acid and they cut her fingers off or whatever. It's just really, aside from, there was one other movie that was way too much.
Terra Firma?
Yeah. Okay.
That's trauma stuff right there.
That and Terra Firma, I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck am I watching this shit for?
It's almost too much, like, to handle, too much century, like, you know.
But it's completely different. The trauma stuff is more like comedy, but it's still just fucking crazy. But I think it's time to take another break, but we'll be right back. We've got some more madness to discover, so. We'll see you here, deadpit.com, Dead Tap with Dead Pit. We'll be right back, folks.
Hi, you guys.
First, he created the most frightening film ever made. Then, he took his unique vision of terror one step further. Now, George A. Romero takes us out of the night, beyond the dawn, and into the darkest day of horror the world has ever known. Day of the Dead. George A. Romero's Day of the Dead.
All right, we're back. And switching topics now from Japanese horror films, there's been a recent phenomenon that I've started to notice. And I'm not sure why this is. I was going to try to get a couple of different opinions on it, but
yeah, emails with your opinions too. We just want to say,
yeah, right. This would be a good one to email me about, because I really have been trying to figure this out for a while. I know that in the mid '90s, you know, Peter Jackson had a couple of films come over from New Zealand, And I know there's a couple more examples like that, but here recently, you got countries that aren't really known for horror that are getting films released on a widespread basis in the United States. Like, you got Undead coming out of Australia, which is a zombie movie, kind of like a zombie alien movie, actually. Mixes the two genres a little bit too much, maybe. But
kind of like Night of the Creeps.
Yeah, but not that good.
Yeah.
And then you got, from France, you got High Tension. And I don't really know
what. We can't kiss that movie's ass enough.
I really can't.
I don't know.
But, you know, you don't really ever think about Australia and France when you think about horror films. So I'm just curious as to, it must be that these kind of filmmakers are starting to maybe they are a little bit more of horror fans than Hollywood is. Maybe they understand a little bit better about actually how to make a good horror film than people in Hollywood do. Because it's obvious with the crap we read you coming out that Hollywood hasn't got a clue. You know, you got, when you're talking about making Castlevania movies and Blood Rain movies and stuff like that, you seriously don't have a clue what you're doing. I don't know. What do you
think? Well, that's Uwe Boll's making that. You can't talk about him, but seriously. I think a lot of the directors that make those films are influenced by different, you know, entities than the horror in Hollywood. Like, I can about bet you money that Alex Aja, the guy who directed High Tension, was influenced by Argento. Okay.
Well, he said as much. Huh?
I can guarantee, you can see it in the movie. I think those guys just seemed to be more. I wasn't too impressed by Undead, I'm gonna be honest, but it was
different. Reminded me a lot of Peter Jackson's old stuff. I mean, it reminded me a lot of Bad Taste. Really.
Yeah, the Sperrig brothers, I believe, directed that. Mm-hmm. I think they're working on some more horror movies, so I'm always up for a new zombie movie, but. Yeah, those guys are definitely influenced by different people. You can definitely tell. I think those guys were probably influenced more by Peter Jackson. It reminded you of, like, Bad Taste and shit like that. So, yeah, I'm up for more of these, though. I think a lot of these movies just get seen by people, and they're like, well, let's show this at, you know,
it's the kind of word of
Sundance or wherever.
It's really the kind of word of mouth stuff that doesn't really happen a lot. But when it does happen, you usually guarantee that you're going to get a really good horror film, because generally, people that bring films like that over know what a horror film is supposed to be. They're not like the, you know, crap.
The bad thing about bringing those movies over to theaters is, though, they never make money.
No, they don't.
When we saw High Tension, there were two other people in the theater, I believe.
But then again, for us, who cares? I don't care if it never makes money, because I'm glad it's coming over, and I'm glad I get a chance to see it.
Well, I care because I'd love to see more films get a chance like that. You know what I'm saying?
But the thing about it is, those films are basically just centered toward, like, a cult audience. They know that it's not going to make that much money anyway when they release it.
Yeah. But I'm up for seeing more of those movies, you know, hopefully. There'll be more of them. So I think we're going to talk next about some of the DVDs that we got to enjoy over this past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we got them for Christmas or we got them afterwards, whatever. The first one I want to mention is a movie. Last time we were had a show, I said, you know, I never want to see The Ring 2. I'm not really interested in it. And I was thinking, you know, I should give it a chance at least. You know, watch it one time.
Really? Why
not? It's only going to waste 2 hours of my time.
It could be good.
Yeah, but it was shitty. I mean, I haven't said shitty too much in this show, but this is shitty. It's complete shit. I mean, come on. Seriously. The thing is, about The Ring 2, the director is the same guy that directed the original Ring. I can't pronounce his name. I don't know. But there's one scene in this movie that we watched. It just sums up the movie for you. It's really cheap. A herd of deer, not real deer, folks, CGI deer, looks like it come out of fucking Shrek, okay?
That is some of the worst CGI I've seen.
I showed it to him before the show. I showed it to your dear Uncle Bill.
See, normally I never watch that film, but that scene, it was worth it.
Yeah, the Samara character in the film, too, that was in the original Ring, she doesn't even make a goddamn appearance, really. I mean, it's not the same girl that played her, but the whole thing that made the original so great, it was ignored in this movie. I mean, there's nothing. It's shit. The Ring 2 shit. Don't go see it. Don't rent it.
Don't even look at it, really.
Here's another movie someone sent that it had some decent things to it, but it's your independent movie that sort of tricks you by the cover. The cover will make you think it's just a straight-out slasher movie. The movie I'm talking about is The Rockville Slayer, and it was released by Freestyle Entertainment. It's like a mixture of a murder mystery with slasher elements. The first opening scene had slasher. It made you think it was going to be a killer movie. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's complete shit. It's not like, you know, a Paul Anderson movie or something. But, you know, it's... I couldn't honestly recommend you buying it. But go rent it. It's got Joe Estevez in it, who looks exactly like Martin Sheen, which I guess is his brother. He actually does a pretty good job in it. I didn't know he was an actor. I thought he was just, you know, a bum at conventions or something. But he did pretty good. I gotta admit.
That's Joey Estevez.
You've also got Lania Quigley in it, who has a short nude scene. And let me tell you, man, I've never seen a 50-year-old woman look that fucking hot naked.
I haven't seen Lania Quigley naked since Return of the Living Dead. So
let me fucking tell you, that's worth to see the movie itself. She, oh goddamn, she looks almost exact. Her body looks exactly the same as it did in Return of the Living Dead.
That is amazing.
And Night of the Demons. Another guy that's in this movie, and please, somebody email me at deadpit@gmail.com. What the fuck is wrong with Robert Zadar's face?
Comments? Random thoughts?
I would love to fucking know. What is wrong with his fuck? They showed him on there, and I was like, I wish you could see the look on my face, but he looked like he had a prosthetic jaw or something.
He's like a roided up Jay Leno.
I remember trying to look up on IMDb or something to see what the hell was wrong with his damn face. And there's nothing on it. I thought it was some sort of disease he had or something. So somebody please email me. That motherfucker's creepy.
He
makes Michael Berryman seem like freaking Big Bird or something. Mm-hmm. But let's let Uncle Bill talk about his movie that he's got now.
All right, I want to talk about this DVD that I just recently saw from one of our favorite independent horror studios, Sub Rosa.
Was this the only movie you watched this week?
It was the only horror-related movie that I watched, unfortunately. But this one's called The Undertow, and it was written and directed by a guy named Jeremy Wallace. And this movie is exactly what I love about independent horror movies, actually. It starts off with a group of kids on a camping trip, a canoeing trip, actually. And they go into a town. They're, you know, picked on by the local sheriff, and because they're outsiders and stuff like this. And as it turns out, you know, the mayor's son happens to be, you know, an incestuous, deformed, you know, freak that kills outsiders that come into the town.
And he looks remarkably like Tater Sack Jason from Friday the 13th Part 2.
He's wearing a bed sheet and he looks like he's in the Klan, basically. But, you know, the thing that's great about this movie is there's no plot. There is a plot, but it doesn't get in the way of the
gore. It's so thin.
Yeah, you can,
that you can enjoy the hell out of the movie. It's just basic killing. And I love it. And the best thing, I remember watching the movie, there's like a 2-minute trailer of other Sub Rosa movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sub Rosa, send us some more movies.
Please. I'm not joking.
I mean, they look fucking awesome. The gore, the tits, that's all you need.
They talk about them being the cure for Hollywood, and actually you can believe it if you watch that, even just that trailer, because there's more gore and tits in that trailer than in the last 15 Hollywood movies that I've seen. So, for that,
Think about it. What was the last Hollywood movie that had a good portion of tits in it? It was horror-related. I mean, come on.
I could probably sit here blankly staring for the next 20 minutes and not think of that.
The last movie that I watched, which is just a couple nights ago, is a movie that I'd never seen before. I'd always heard about it, and I remember Uncle Bill was the one that was bragging about it, you know. And he actually was right
this time.
Because this one is Peter Fonda's Race with the Devil, which also stars Warren Oates, who, what else was he in, Stripes, you said?
He was in Stripes with Bill Murray.
I thought he was the same dude that was in Just Before, he looked just like the dude from Just Before Dawn and Sleepaway Camp, but it wasn't him, whatever. Peter Fonda and Warren Oates characters with their wives, which one of them was in the shitty show called MASH, and the other one was in Dark Shadows, which is a killer show back in the 60s and 70s.
Soap opera, really good.
It was mainly soap opera, though. And you know, they go on a vacation, and one night after a night of hard drinking, Peter Fonda and Warren Oates see a couple of people, you know, starting a fire across the river from them, whatever. And they notice that all of them are dancing around a circle naked. So, sure enough, Warren Oates gets his binoculars out. He's like, oh, look at the titties on that one there, Uncle Bill. And
titties, really?
Yeah. And then they see a naked woman lifted up, and the leader, which wears some sort of weird-ass mask, kills her. And they're in shock. They make noise. They're heard. They're chased. So, and they're chased throughout their whole vacation, and there's just shit that keeps happening to them. It's a fucking killer movie. I recommend you going to get an Anchor Bay. We love Anchor Bay, by the way.
Yes.
DadPitt@gmail.com. We love Anchor Bay.
Anchor Bay, You Are the Gods DVD.
They've included audio commentary with this, all-new featurette with Peter Fonda, which I thought he was dead, actually, but evidently not.
No, that's Henry Fonda.
Is that his dad?
Yeah,
that's
his dad. Okay. Peter Fonda's just on, still on like a LSD tree.
Theatrical trailer, radio spots, poster, still gallery, behind-the-scenes photo gallery, and, you know, this movie's only about $10 wherever you go, so go out and get it, and... Actually, I was looking up info about the movie after I watched it, and I found out that, yes, folks, there's a remake of this movie being made.
Yeah. Well,
fuck. I mean,
CK's upset, but seriously.
You guys?
You guys. There's a couple of scenes in that movie that I can still remember, and it's probably been at least over a year since the last time I've seen that movie. But
it's a great movie.
There's a scene where they... it's kind of like, if you can imagine, it's like if they mixed Duel, like Steven Spielberg's Duel, with Rosemary's Baby, like a group of devil worshippers that chase people in an RV, you know. It's kind of like that, what it's like. And there's a scene where the Satan worshippers catch up with them and nail their dog to the door.
Yeah, there's actually...
RV, and that's, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and actually the most creepiest part of the movie is right after that when they're trying to get, you know, to leave to go back home. And I think whoever it is, Loretta Swit or whatever her name is, opens up, you know, she's going to make some coffee.
You mean Lips from MASH?
That's what I said, MASH, that shitty show.
Yeah.
And there's rattlesnakes in their van. And to me, scenes like that are the most frightening because they could happen, you know. I mean, you could realize that could happen to you. I mean, snakes, I'm scared to death of snakes. I hate them, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of snakes either.
But that's a great freaking movie, but I don't see how you're going to have CGI snakes in a remake, shit like that.
Yeah, I can just picture it right now. Like, in the remake, I'm sure, like, the devil worshippers and stuff will have, like, some kind of CG outfits and costumes on. And that probably actually what will happen is, too, they have, like, CG woodland creatures and stuff, you know, running around.
You ain't going to shoot me, Santa, are you? But, yeah, I'm hoping maybe that remake will die a slow death with the Bad Seed remake it's rumored to happen. So.
Which is another Eli Roth project, by the way.
Yeah,
I didn't know about that he was directing the Bad Seed project, but now that I do know about that, I'm just probably never going to see that film. So.
Yeah, so.
Thank you, Eli Roth.
Everybody, go out this weekend and choose between two great directors, and Eli Roth and Uwe Boll.
Mm-hmm.
I know you'll choose the best one, which is Uwe. And we'll see you, I guess, next week. We're going to have the Friday the 13th special. And we're going to discuss all of the Friday the 13th movies. And hopefully have, you know, a little something else. We'll see. But we'll see you next week.
Support horror, damn it!
And I'm a creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
We're from DadPitt.com. And we'll see you at the theaters.
It's who's...